Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the Dáil is yet to vote on ratification of a trade deal between the EU and Canada known as CETA. And although most of CETA is already in place, certain provisions are causing concern, particularly the so-called investment court system, where private companies could sue member states over regulation that might impact their profits. It's been a particularly fraught issue within the Green Party, and now Green Party TD Patrick Costello is to take a court challenge to test its constitutionality. And he joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Hiya, how are you, Sean? It's a privilege to be here.
Now, so for the purposes of clarity, you don't really have a problem with the rest of CETA, or do you? Or is it just this particular provision within it?
Well, so most of CETA is already in effect, and the trade aspects are the responsibility of the EU. So, you know, we're part of the European Union. Decisions about trade are made at that level. So that's, you know, they're the ones who make that choice. Where I have concerns is in relation to the courts and how they affect Irish courts. So, you know, we've established that where we're making new courts or where we are giving up some of our own state power, we have to have a referendum on the issue. So, you know, when we joined the European Union, we had a referendum on that. When we have had further EU treaties, we've had referendums on that. Years ago, we had the International Criminal Court, and we had a referendum on that. We had a new Court of Appeal, and we had a referendum on that. Because the Constitution says that, you know, the courts are set up by the Constitution, and we can't really step outside that. And look, there's lots of legal rows over that, over things taking the role of the courts, and can they do that or can they not? And this is just part of trying to clarify that.
Right. Okay. So if in a theoretical scenario, a company takes a case to this through this investor court system, where physically is that court, and who are the judges who sit on it?
Well, the judges would be appointed through a system set up in CETA. I'll be honest and say I don't know where it would physically sit, but. The important thing is that the judges and the court itself is not set up, they're not appointed by the rules under the Constitution. Our Constitution clearly says that courts will sit and judges will be appointed by the way the rules are set in the Constitution. And where we have set up new courts, like, you know, we've given some power and control to the European courts in Brussels, which I think is a good thing, we've had a referendum to say yes. So courts will be set up by the Constitution, but also these other courts, because, you know, over in Brussels, because we have approved them as a population as a whole.
Right. OK, so is it explicit in the CETA deal that if somebody wins a case, say if Ireland brings in some new environmental regulation and a company doesn't like that, they go to the investor court, the investor court rules in their favour, then is that a binding judgment against Ireland?
That is what would be in CETA, that it was a binding judgment and that you wouldn't be able to appeal it back to Irish courts. And that's where the problem comes in, because then the Irish courts have been completely pushed out of the process. Had the Irish courts been completely pushed out of the process, which is not something we can do under our constitution unless we agree to do it by way of referendum. So the European courts can make decisions overruling the Irish courts, but we've given them permission through all the various European Union referendums we've had. The people of Ireland have given them permission to do that. We said that's a good thing. So if the court decides that, look, you do need a referendum on this, the people of Ireland can still come together and say, do you know what, we actually want these courts. We think they're a good thing. So for me, it's a question of how do we ratify this treaty and clarifying the how and who gets to vote on it. Is it the TD sitting in the Dáil? Is it the people of Ireland as a whole by way of referendum? And I guess, you know, for me, it's really important as a TD to know when you're pushing the Tall or the Neil, you're pushing that button in front of you, that everything you're doing is in line with the Constitution.
Mm. Now, as I understand it, Belgium in 2019 referred this matter to the European Court of Justice. The European Court of Justice found that this new court system wouldn't interfere with the ability of individual governments to regulate. Was that no comfort to you?
That was a decision in relation to would the courts you know, muscle in on the territory of the European courts. So, and the European court said, no, look, we can still be a unified European court. There would still be a unified European law, even if we pass this. That's a different question, because the question being asked now is this in line with Bunrock na hÉireann? Is this in line with the Irish constitution, which is set up differently and which is a different question to answer?
Right. OK, now, just to let the listeners know, this was due to be voted on, I think, last year, but then was delayed because of a few people within the Green Party had reservations about it. How long now might this High Court case take?
I don't know. My legal team said it could be done quite quickly in a matter of months. It would be obviously a very priority case. But look, it's also the seat is also going to the Oireachtas committees. So, you know, there's a process that needs to be worked through there as well. And, you know, these are parallel processes. So the Oireachtas committees will scrutinize it and look at it to see, should we ratify it? What are the consequences of ratifying it? Will it be good for us? Will it be bad for us? That's a political question. Mm. And then there's the legal question of, can we do this by a vote of the Dáil? Do we need a referendum? And they're separate questions. And, you know, we can run these two processes to answer those questions in parallel. And hopefully they would finish around the same time and we can get on with any votes that need to happen.
Right. OK. But so in any event, it'll be some months before we know what the next step might be.
I think there's going to be a period of time, yes, but I think it's also important to remember that CETA needs to be ratified by all European Union countries, and the German Constitutional Court is still looking at it. They had a partial ruling in relation to one question on CETA yesterday, and they basically said, look, there's a substantive judgment coming, but that's going to be later in the year. So even if we did dispose of things very quickly, the Germans still need to answer their questions, and that's going to be October at the earliest by the time they answer those questions.
Right, okay.
So there's a lot of moving parts that are still moving away.
Right, okay. Though if we have to have a referendum, presumably we couldn't have a referendum until much later this year because of COVID anyway.
Well, I think that's the timing of the referendum would be up to government. But we've also talked about a referendum on the right to housing, so it would be really good to put those two things together and maybe, you know, have two questions on the same day.
Right.
You know, so there's lots of referendums we need to have that we're always talking about, so let's package them all up and get it to...
But given that you're not the only person, Patrick, within the Green Party who has reservations about this, if the court says, yes, we have to have a referendum on this, would you be voting no in that referendum?
There's two processes going on here. One is the legal question of how we ratify this. The other, for me, is the political question. Should we ratify this? And that's what the committees are looking at. What are the consequences of it? What are the good things? What are the bad things? You know, what would be the benefits to us? So I think that process needs to work its way through, and then we can all sit and look at, you know, the scrutiny and a reasoned argument for and against ratifying it, and, you know, make that choice then.
Right. OK, so from that, do we infer that you haven't made up your mind about it one way or the other?
Well, look, I have concerns over the courts. I have concerns over the impact of them on Ireland, and concerns over those the benefits. I don't see the same benefits over it. But I think, as I say, the scrutiny and the process of scrutiny is there to pick through it.
Right. OK. So that does that mean, though, that once that scrutiny process is finished, you might go, oh, OK, fine, and you'll vote yes for it?
I will keep an open mind to the two experts. I'm not going to say that I have my blinkers on, but, you know, it would want to be quite strong to overcome the concerns I have.
Right. OK. Now, is this, though, I mean, your party, as you know, your party leader has said he's going to vote against it. But there seems to be a substantial minority within the Green Party who have, at the very least, concerns about it, as you do. This mightn't end well, Patrick, for your party.
Well, look, this is, I think, an action that I've chosen to take by myself as an individual.
Sure.
And, you know, I think it's when you start in Leinster House as a TD, you're given a copy of the standing orders of the Dáil and the Constitution. And I think it's really important that we as TDs know what we're doing as is constitutional and is lawful. So, for me, that's where this came from, that deeper question of what is the lawful thing to do. I think there is a lot of internal debate within the party, yes, and I think, you know, we will continue those debates and conversations. We've had a lot of engagement with the members since this issue first came up. We've had a couple of large online events with people being able to contribute and people able to talk through this and debate this. There are some members who have said very clearly in the media that they will be leaving if CETA passes. So I think we've a lot of work to do still, but there is more internal work going on to ensure that there's dialogue, there's debate, and that people are being listened to and can speak freely on this issue.
A High Court case like this, is it expensive?
It can be, but there is... it can be, and you know, the order of costs is the thing that's discussed at the end of the case.
Mm.
But I think that, you know, this was an important piece of law and an important question that needed to be asked. It's not something that we've really asked before. It's not a question we've looked at before. So while that was a concern of mine, I think the fundamental question was much more of a concern.
Sure. But has your barrister asked how you're going to pay for this, Patrick?
Well, I think there are elements where there are cases where when it's a significant point of public policy that an order of costs won't be made, and you know, those cases won't be as expensive. So I think that's, you know, I think there's good precedent around important cases and that. So ultimately, at the end of the day, if we win, the costs might flow another direction. So I am remaining confident, let us just say.
Patrick, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Patrick Costello there, Green Party TD for Dublin South Central. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that, farming.
Moncrief on News Talk.